So it was my birthday recently, and the Murray family actually made me this card. Little Emma drew these little birds in the front. You know, that M-shaped birds. We drew a lot of them when we were kids. And inside the card, one of the things they were actually picking up on is, actually, I feel even when I see this picture, the Lord doesn't want perfection from you. He's not seeking that. And when I read that, it just touched me and encouraged me, because I sometimes think I need to be perfect. I think I need to do every single thing right. And then I put so much pressure on myself. I can't enjoy the life, the world. Not the world in that sense, you know, enjoy life. and it's amazing when when the Lord just speaks. And he's been speaking this thing to me so many times. And it's just so cool. In a simple birthday card, someone just picking up the heart of God and communicating that really touched me. And so I was just thinking, so how many other people might also maybe just feel a bit discouraged today? Maybe they're feeling scared of something, something daunting they feel the Lord is asking them to do. Maybe feeling stuck in some way, like I feel stuck sometimes if I don't know the 100% right answer. I sometimes can't move. I just like, what must I do? I get stuck. Maybe you're uncertain about some things that you're just wondering about, like, I'm just not sure. Maybe you're confused. Maybe just so much stuff going on, you can't see the way. Maybe you're just hurting. Or somewhere, you just got some hurt or pain, be it emotional, physical, who knows. And those are the people the Lord really wants to speak to. And it's amazing, like in the Bible, he writes about these people. And that's all of us. At some point of our lives, we were somewhere in one of those lists. We go in from these states and out of these states where we get discouraged and encouraged. And it's a cycle. That's where we need to be encouraged daily, so that our hearts don't get hardened. It's so important that we do encourage one another. And let's pick up on this thing, what the Bible actually says. Elmar, if you can go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 6. I'll read it in my best English this morning. So, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So, just before 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes about all the spiritual gifts that he gives us. 9 of them that the Holy Spirit empowers. 1 Corinthians 13 is about love, and how love is the most important thing. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he says, pursue love, like he just mentioned, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, like he also mentioned, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Unless someone interprets, then you don't get the understanding. 3, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Other words for that is for their, I'll get to that later. Exhortation is a strong word, and consolation is a big word for comfort. We all know comfort. We don't all know consolation. So let's remember that. 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I just want to stop us there. The one who prophesies builds up the church. And therefore, Paul says, I desire that you prophesy, maybe even more than you speak in tongues, because when you get together, we actually want people to be built up. Instead of people saying stuff that we don't understand. Like, we want to be able to understand the encouraging word. At no point I'm encouraging my wife in maths. Like, she won't understand all the numbers. I also won't understand it, and I'll maybe get a clap. So you need to communicate in a language that the person understands. And the prophetic does that. Well, tongues not always. So Paul said, this is important. Therefore, the title of my sermon today is Building Up the Discouraged and Hurting with Prophecy. So again, building up the discouraged and hurting with prophecy. So what is prophecy? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Just look at that again. Verse 3, right? Yeah. So on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And in there, I think we find the best definition of prophecy in the Bible. One who speaks, so it's a person who speaks, with the purpose of upbuilding, so building, strengthening someone, encouraging, it's like getting courage or urging someone strongly to do something. Exhortation is another big word for that. and consolation or comfort for someone who's hurting, providing a word of encouragement, the Lord's heart for comfort. And we can just quickly run through a few others. Revelation 19 verse 10. I just want to focus on the last. That's the definition of prophecy of what it is. At the end, this is now John. He's seeing this vision. He's almost falling in front of an angel, wanting to worship the angel. But in the end, the angel says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Prophecy is all about Jesus. It's not just about fortune telling. It's not just about saying, I feel this and I sense that. It's not about cool, I can see all those pictures. It's about building up people with the goal of Jesus being glorified. That's the whole point of prophecy. Jesus needs to be glorified. It's not just, you're going to get rich. No, that's not, you're going to get the dog one day. Like, what? How is that upbuilding in the Lord, you know? Unless you're, I don't know, I don't want to get in detail. Speak to me afterwards if you want to, but it's all about Jesus. That's the point. And then prophecy is rooted in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20 to 21. I'm going to drink some water here. It says, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good." So this is when prophecies come, this is the Lord giving a prompting. We might not hear the Lord's voice directly, but the Lord is actually prompting. He's maybe touching on something. Do not despise it or just look down and say, "No, this is nothing." We need to take serious when the Lord speaks. It also says, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. When we hear a prophetic word, when we hear a sensing of the Lord, we actually have the responsibility to go test it ourselves. And we need to go test it with the scripture. Is it line of scripture? You know, if you feel prophetic word for someone, say, "Hey, I feel you must go get drunk and just enjoy life a bit," clearly that contradicts the Bible, and that's not from the Lord. So we always need to measure it up with what does the scripture say. So we need to always have this rooted in the Bible. So let's look at another example. So that's just a bit of prophecy. I want to give an example of this in the New Testament. So let's go to Acts 21, verse 10 to 14. Okay, so that's the scripture reference. I'm not going to read it because it's long, but I'm going to give you a bit more explanation, context around this. So here we have Agabus. He's a prophet, a well-known prophet in the Bible. We see him even in, I think, Acts 10, where he prophesies a famine over the land. But now he comes down to Paul and says, and he takes Paul's belt and he ties it around his hand and feet. And so in a similar way, the owner of this belt will be bound by the Jews and be handed over to the Gentiles. So that's basically what this portion of scripture is saying. Like Agabus is giving a personal prophecy to Paul, saying this is going to happen with you. And yeah, Paul actually says, "Listen, I need to go." And the people are saying, "No, but please, Paul, don't go. This is a bad thing that's going to happen to you." And the people are like, "No, no, no." And Paul's like, "Sorry, I must go. I need to do the will of the Lord." And it's interesting, in Acts 20, just a chapter before this, Paul already has got a sensing he needs to go to Jerusalem and he knows he's going to suffer. It's interesting how the prophetic word comes and now life gets challenging. It's a bit complexities here, but let's see what the lessons are we can learn out of the scripture. Number one, prophecy usually confirms what the Lord has already said. So we have a responsibility to actually listen and go seek the Lord for ourselves first. And then, yeah, but okay, God, it can always come as a confirmation. But we are not people running around looking just for the next prophetic word, and that's how we get guided through life. We can actually go to the Lord ourselves and then allow Him to speak to us. And usually prophecy just confirms the Lord's already been doing. Paul already knew from Acts 20. Also, the messenger's character and credibility is very important. It's not just anyone, "Hey, I've got a word for you," and you don't know this guy from a bar of soap. It's the credibility of the person bringing the word is really important. It gives weight to what people are saying. And we see once again, previously in Acts, I think somewhere in Acts 10, Agabus brought the word about the famine, which then eventually did happen. And then thirdly, prophecy never controls decisions. It's a very important one. Paul stayed committed to the will of God. Prophecy is there to encourage us, to build us up. But it's not, okay, you must not do this now, I'm just changing direction. You still need to go and ask the Lord, but what must I do with this? It's a confirmation of what the Lord is maybe already leading you to. we don't just make decisions based off prophecy. If maybe someone randomly comes to you and says, hey man, I feel you must go to J-Bay. And you're like, yes, I must. You don't even know this guy's name. And now you're making a decision. You might even not know the Lord. And maybe something in your heart, do you really want to go surf? You know? So prophecy never controls decisions. And fourthly, all prophecy is partial. We see in 1 Corinthians 13 at the end that we all see in part. So this is also an important thing, because I think sometimes we think we need to get a thing 100% correct. Otherwise, it's not prophecy or it's false. And we all see in part. While we're this side of eternity, we're not going to see everything right and clearly as it is. But we see only a part. And that's why we need to live humbly and say, hey, this is what I'm sensing. This is what I'm thinking. I might be wrong. Give me feedback. Help me to grow to hear God better. Because interesting, eventually Paul did go to Jerusalem. And what happened was he went to the temple. The Jews grabbed him in the temple. They took him outside and started beating him, wanting to kill him. Then the Romans came. They intervened. They took Paul. They bound him up in chains and took him into custody. But interesting, what Agabus said is the Jews will bind his hands, deliver him over to the Gentiles. But yeah, the Jews wanted to kill him. The Gentiles or the Romans saved him and they bound him up in chains. So it wasn't 100% accurate, as Agabus predicted or foretold, but still the just was there. And this just shows, even if Agabus, who's a well-renowned prophet, can maybe get it a little bit wrong, like so can we. But still, Paul urges us, desire prophecy. It's not just for a select few. It's not just for the prophets. He wants all of us to prophesy. So now we need to figure out, how do we do this thing? You know, we're not prophets. You know, Ephesians 4 verse 11 speaks about the prophets that God gives to the church as a different type of prophet than we who prophesy and hear God's voice. And we need to now figure out, but if God is saying, desire prophecy, what must I do to prophesy? Like, how does this work? So maybe you're sitting here and there's some thoughts going through your mind, like, I'm not sure what this guy is saying. I think this is a snake in the bush. I don't know if people say it like that. Grass and bush, same thing. So maybe I've heard this said. People say, oh, but the old prophecy is only for the Old Testament, you know? Only the prophets there heard God directly and they prophesied. But actually, we see in the New Testament, Agabus also prophesied. We actually see Paul writing about prophecy and actually urging us to prophesy. That's in the New Testament. So it's not just for the Old Testament. And it's not just for a select few. Just the prophets should prophesy. Typically, people who have been gifted in prophecy, who is a prophet, they've got a very good track record of hitting a thing right, getting things more accurate. And this is a different grace the Lord has given them. It doesn't mean that we now shouldn't prophesy because you've got people who like the top dogs in a way. Not the top dogs, but they're accurate. They're really good in what they do. But that's not us. We need to know our grace as well. Also, other thing I've heard is prophecy is only about predicting the future. We even see in 2 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 10. I'm not going to read it now. When Nathan the prophet comes to David and he gives him this analogy about a rich guy and a sheep, and then the rich guy wanting the one sheep, but the poor farmer only had one sheep. And then David's like, no, that's wrong. You can't just do that. Like, this guy must die. And Nathan rebukes him. He says, listen, but you are this guy. You had all these wives and you went for Bathsheba and you killed her husband. And actually with prophecy, he touches God's heart. Actually, that's a strong encouragement and exhortation to repent. And that's how the prophetic can also work. So it's not just about predicting the future. It's sometimes speaking into a life, building up, encouraging, comforting. Third one, if prophecy is 100% accurate, then it's false. Some people believe that, yes, I need to have it 100% right, and therefore they never do it. Because somehow the Lord hasn't shown a light from above, and they just have it all figured out. And we see even Agabus, who was a well-renowned prophet, he didn't get it right always. So I think we need to create space to actually live out the scriptures that we need to prophesy, as Paul encourages us, to also know and give space how we might get it wrong, but let's test it. This is not like the Old Testament prophets where the Holy Spirit came on top of people and just uttered words and the Lord spoke. That's not typically how the Lord's going to work with us. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us and he wants to speak through us. The last one, quickly to mention, others can't really hear God. They're just making it up. How many of you have maybe thought that? What, this people say, Jesus making it up. And I just want to remind us of John 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We are made children of God, and you know, when we repent, turn from our sins, we go to God, we can actually hear his voice. He made it easy for us. He didn't make it difficult. It's not we must all these challenges and do A, B, C, and then finally we can maybe hear God a bit. He actually made it easy for us to hear his voice. And we need to recognize that we need to live in that space that God has called us to hear his voice and actually then to share it with others. So it's not true. And maybe you haven't really experienced the Lord speak to your life personally, experienced the power of someone who actually doesn't know you that well, speaking something about the truth of God into your life. And he can do that. And he wants to do that. He wants to do it in us. So, do you desire prophecy? Do you desire to prophesy? Let's just quickly look at 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 again. Paul says, pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He didn't just write to prophets. He wrote to that church. So do you prophesy? Is this something you're desiring? Like, man, Lord, use me a bit more in this thing. I want to be the person who encourages the body. I want to be the person who comforts them. I want to be the one who strengthens them. Will you speak to me? And yeah, for me, this is the cool part. Like, we can desire it. It's not like an ungodly desire. This is a godly desire. Desire to prophesy because it's for the upbuilding of the church. So why is it important? Because prophecy builds up the church and the individuals in the church. It helps us to find God's will and align better with him. It helps us to see and know God better. And also, it helps us to fight the Lord's battles or to fight the good fight better. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. I'm not going to read it now, but Paul basically says, with the prophecies you've received, wage war with them. Hold on to them. And then fight with them. Because life gets difficult. Life gets discouraging. And sometimes we need to remember, what is the Lord saying? I need to hold on to what he's saying. Okay, it's challenging season. Yes, I don't like this thing. But the Lord is good. But he's got a plan. But he's doing a slow work. I've received a word like that. He's doing a slow work in you. Wait. I'm like, no, man. I don't want that word. But years have passed where I could hold on that word and know. But this is actually the Lord's plan. It's not me getting something wrong. Okay, so that's that for the main part. Now I want to get really practical and ask the question about how do we prophesy? How do we do this thing? Say now you've got this desire in you and say, I want to prophesy. I want to encourage people. What do we do? So how to hear God's voice? We hear his voice through the word, by daily reading his scriptures. That's one of the main ways he speaks to us. Through the Holy Spirit guiding us in everyday life. Just following, if small stuff is happening, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through that. Times of prayer and fasting, really seeking his face, the Lord can speak to you. And when I say the Lord speaks to you, it's not in an audible voice always. Very, very few people will hear him like that. When I say hearing the Lord's voice, is hearing what he's, in a way, trying to convey to you. Like sometimes you get a sensing or a prompting or get an idea, but maybe the Lord is saying to me, actually loves me. Maybe he's saying, telling me I actually need to trust on him for finances. So when I say his voice, it's not always the clear, audible voice of God, but in different ways, through the scriptures, through his Holy Spirit, through prayer and fasting, through other people speaking to you. That's ways he's communicating with us. The Bible also speaks about visions, dreams. Even angels at times have spoken to people in the Bible. And sometimes just circumstances. Where through a circumstance, the Lord's actually trying to speak something to you. Oftentimes, if I've got an injury or if I've had one in the past, the Lord would sometimes use that to try and talk to me and say, listen, you maybe need to chill it out a bit. Okay, now, next one, how to give a prophetic word. So say now you're feeling a sensing from God. Okay, I think the Lord wants to speak to this person, but what do you want to say, God? Then, this is some practical tips. The more we practice, the clearer we will hear God's voice. So just imagine you're on the phone and someone calls you. No, it's an unknown number. You all get those, a lot of them. And then someone's saying, hello, my name is Pity, or who are you? And so chatting. Imagine that person, Pity, calls every day. And later on, he doesn't need to say anymore, hey, I'm Pete. You know his voice. Because you know, oh, that's this low bass voice and whatever. He speaks fast and not slow. You recognize that person's voice if you hear his voice a lot. It's the same thing with God. The more we listen to his voice and practice it, the more we'll actually start getting a clear picture of what he's saying, getting better at actually hearing him. So it takes practice. And just remember the purpose of prophecy, to build up. So if you've got a sensing, is this building up towards a person? Maybe ask that question. Is this encouraging the person? Is this going to comfort the person? It's not that simple. It's not that difficult. Yes. It's not that difficult. Just do it. Okay, then on the other side, what not to say. Because oftentimes we can maybe step into holes, even prophesying to people's desires, because maybe someone really wants to get children. Now, if you're going to come up and say, hey, I feel the Lord going to give you 2 children, that's very dangerous areas to thread, because you don't know if that's really going to happen. We all see in part, and that's how people get hurt. That's how prophecy gets abused, is when people start being unwise in how to do it and treat it. And we need to be wise, and therefore there are some helpful guidelines, like don't prophesy about hatch, match, and dispatch. Have you guys heard that before? Hatch, match, and dispatch. A hatch speaks about an egg hatching and babies coming out. We know we don't come from eggs, but still it's a helpful wording to use. So don't prophesy in the area of babies. If you do sense it, maybe share it with one of your elders, one of the leaders, and then share it directly to the person. They can maybe just help weigh this thing up. Because sometimes the Lord does speak in those areas, but be very careful to give it straight to the person. Rather go to a leader and say, I'm feeling this for this person. What do you think? And maybe say, okay, maybe hold it lightly, or maybe don't share it. Maybe share it. So that will, it's just more safety grounds for you, so we don't hurt people by prophesying into their desires. Matching. I know we've all have wanted the word, who is my wife or who is my husband? I've been there a lot. I can't confess. I was just asking the Lord to speak to me. But yeah, that's unhelpful to prophesy in that area. Because you can say, the Lord's put you together, and then he didn't. And that creates a lot of hurt, which is unhelpful. Last one is dispatch. You know, kicking the boot. No, I'm joking. It's sending someone off, like Jeffreys Bay, the example I gave you. So I feel the Lord is moving you to Jeffreys Bay. Maybe some people will just quit their jobs with no plan. Say, the Lord has said, I'm going. Ends up there, no job, no income, life is just going to go backwards. And you might say, hey, but God has said, where is God now? Maybe he didn't say, and you uprooted your whole life because of one prophetic word. Maybe with some of an incredible track record. So it's be careful of hatch, match, and dispatch. Also, be careful to say, God says. We're not always that good, and we hear him clearly. When he says, so I feel maybe God is saying this, or I'm sensing this for you. I think that's helpful. And when you actually receive a word, just quickly 3 things. Record it, write it down, get recorder. I put all our prophetic words in Google Drive with the date and the date at the front, so it's chronological. That's how I want to keep track, but be faithful with your words, and the Lord will give you more. Test it, like I mentioned, test it with scripture, test it with people, bounce it off. And also, does it actually bring encouragement in life, or is this just like, I don't know what this person is saying? Sometimes all the words aren't going to be accurate and discarded. Those you feel are helpful, keep them. And thirdly, obey it. We don't want to be just listeners, hearers of the word. We actually want to hear the word and do it. Because our hearts actually grows hardened if we don't obey God. So when he's speaking, be serious with what he's saying. Weigh it carefully, and once you know it's just God, act on it. And maybe you feel like, oh, God hasn't spoken to me in a while. Maybe he has said something, we just haven't acted on it. And he actually is waiting for you to start obeying what he said. So that happens also at times. Okay, so I want to land it here. I've gone on for a while. And I want us to make this practical as well. So God, he wants to speak, use us as his church to speak and encourage each other. Yeah, so I'm just do it. I think that's the main thing. Just do it. Don't overthink it. It's not that difficult. It's simple. So some questions to ask. Maybe you're sitting here and you've never heard the voice of God. Maybe you didn't know there was a God out there that actually loves people enough to speak with them. Maybe you never knew there's a God that loves you and wants to speak to you. Who gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins so that you can actually have a relationship with him. And maybe you're thinking, yes, I actually want to meet this God. And the scripture is clear. If you confess your sins, he will forgive you your sins. And you can have fellowship with him.